Welcome to the Christerion Collection, a podcast where a recovering Catholic, that's Matt Arnold, and an ex-Episcopalian, that's me, Beth May, try to digest modern Christian cinema. However, we have a rare intestinal disorder that causes us to vomit up our hot takes where our opinions are our own. We're conducting medical tests to review the themes of these movies and why they're so popular. But I've begun to wonder, Matt, is there ever going to be a Christian movie we fall 30 feet head over heels for? What movie are we discussing today?
We're discussing The Incredible Miracles from Heaven, Jennifer Garner's just fucking acting vehicle from 2016, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we finally made it to our first Christian movie that claims to be based on a true story.
True story.
I guess that Journey to Bethlehem also makes that claim, but in a more implicit way.
True.
Miracles from Heaven is an Affirm Films adaptation of Christy Beam's 2015 memoir of the same name. It was released in 2016, as you said, where it did friggin' numbers.
It got like 75 million on like a 20 mil budget or something.
Yep, 74 mil 74. Off a 14 million budget. Higher budget than we've seen for some of these
other
films.
I mean, Jennifer Garner ain't cheap.
No, I mean, and it's also, you know, it was co-produced with Columbia, TriStar, distributed by Sony.
Isn't that Queen Latifah too?
Heavy hitters there. Speaking of heavy hitters, we got Jennifer Garner, Queen Latifah, Eugenio Derbez, Martin Henderson, who, if you're me, you'll recognize as that guy from The Ring, and also that dude on Grey's Anatomy that Meredith bangs in the post-McDreamy era. Finally, we got Wayne Perry as Ben, who I consider the MVP, but I am getting ahead of myself.
This is a pretty quick one to summarize what happens because honestly, not much happens. And if you've read, this was a pretty big deal because this was a book that came out. I remember definitely it was like one of those books you saw at like the grocery store because it was a big New York Times bestseller. The family got interviewed a lot. So you probably know the story. So when I summarize it, you'll be like, oh yeah, I know that story. And that's pretty much the entire movie too.
Yeah.
So what happened is the Beam family, they have three daughters and one of them, not Abigail. That's the horror movie that just came out.
It's Anna. I actually wrote a summary.
Oh, you did it.
Yeah, it might be boring.
No,
but
you do it.
Okay, sorry.
Ignore me.
Because I like don't do research. So I figure if I write the intro and the summary, then I don't have to actually do the rest of the work.
We're a little rusty because we took a break, kind of like Jesus Christ himself. And we, after three episodes, we've risen again. So let's shake off the rust a little bit. Do your summary. Let's do it.
Okay, here's the summary. The Beam family lives in Burleston, Texas, where they know that Jesus is in their hearts and hell is in California. Kevin Beam owns a veterinary practice while Chrissy Beam tends to their home and their three fun-loving daughters, Abby, Anna, and Adeline. It's an idyllic existence with community picnics and church on Sundays until middle child Anna starts getting sick. She throws up at night and complains of stomach pain. If the movie were called The Exorcist, you'd know where it was heading, but nope. A doctor tells Christy that Anna is probably lactose intolerant, and in that moment, I really connected with our hero. I've walked that line. I've weathered that hardship. The family vows that if Anna can't have pizza, neither will they. Woo! Solidarity. But the cheesy abstinence does nothing. Anna is in so much pain, they take her to the emergency room, where modern medicine continues to ignore the suffering of this little girl until Christy goes a little mama bear, goes for him, and then refuses to take her daughter home. An eagle-eyed pediatrician finds that Anna has a bowel obstruction and proceeds with emergency surgery. Crisis averted, but what could cause such a thing? If this were an episode of House MD, you'd probably call Dr. House about now. But the pediatrician instead recommends the foremost pediatric gastroenterologist.
No, that's a hard one. That's a hard job to have because it's a hard job to say.
Yeah, any job I can't pronounce. Dr. Nurko. After months of trying to get an appointment with Dr. Nurko and Anna's condition deteriorating, Christy and Anna fly to Boston to meet with him despite having no appointment. Through luck and the fireable offenses of a front desk lady or God, Dr. Nurko has a last minute opening. With his care, Anna undergoes extensive treatment. She's tube-fed and on heavy pain medication that barely takes the edge off. But hope is not lost. They meet a lovely Bostonian, Angela. Angela, like Angel. Okay,
that's actually a real person.
Oh, okay.
I checked that. It's like really happened.
Wow.
Wasn't Queen Latifah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who becomes their tour guide and close friend. After months of unanswered prayers and Anna's condition not improving, the Beam family is staring death in the face and Christy is losing her faith. She stopped going to church, which the church ladies are being total bitches about, by the way. Anna, however, never wavers. She even converts her hospital roommate, Haley, much to the chagrin of Haley's father, Ben. During one of Anna's visits back home to Texas, the girls are briefly playing like they used to, climbing up the old tree in their yard. And here, an hour and a half into the movie, we get to the promise of the premise. A branch breaks, sending Anna falling into the actual trunk of the tree where she is trapped and unconscious. Firefighters and EMS race against time to rescue her from the bowels of this tree, pardon the pun, and it seems all hope is lost. They take the lifeless Anna to the hospital, where she not only regains consciousness, but wakes up uninjured and not in pain. Dude, yeah, the tree cured her stomach issues. Even Dr. Nurko was like, I don't even know how this shit happened. Anna then reveals to her parents that during her fall, she went to heaven. Dude. She went to heaven.
She went to heaven.
Yeah. And she telepathically communicated with God, who said that she would be cured of illness upon her return to Earth. First, Christy and Kevin are like, sweetie, don't tell anyone about this or they'll send you to the silly place. But then they're like, nah, the world needs to know. Christy marks her return to church by sharing their miracle. When the church bitches protest, who shows up but Ben, Haley's dad? He reveals that Haley died, but that she was at peace due to her newfound faith. The Beams celebrate their health and their belief in miracles by putting pizza back on the menu, boys.
Hell yeah.
Amen. And the end.
Woo. Very good. There's only one thing I believe you missed, Beth.
Okay.
Yeah. I gotta say, it's very important.
I bet. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but, and it's tough. It's tough to remember because not a lot, but when she's in the tree, before the firefighters do retrieve her, they have a prayer circle around the tree.
It is the pivotal moment
where she regains her faith. Because Jennifer Garner's character, Chrissy Beam, is struggling with her act of faith throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
That is the movie. So. What do you want to talk about with this movie?
Well, I think the thing that struck me the most about this movie is low-key how innocuous I find it as a Christian movie.
Yeah.
I find it like... Something I really did leave out during the summary was that there's like a flashback scene at the very end of the movie where you realize that all of these people helping them were kind of like ordained by God or something. Or, you know, it's like it implies that like all of these strokes of luck along the way have really been miracles, little miracles,
yeah,
as Jennifer Garner's character says. And it's actually like kind of a cool...
Yeah,
little
I did
sequence.
Find there's obviously things I want to hear your thoughts about that. And I was doing a little bit of digging and I want to talk about the subtle differences between the movie and the book, supposedly the true story. And then the movie, some of the differences, I think, bring up some of the interesting aspects of Christian filmmaking.
Okay.
But I think overall, it's a true story, whatever parts of it aren't true or not true. But the fact is, like, this family went through this really horrible experience.
Yeah.
This poor girl was really, really sick. All the acting is really good, including the kid actors. It's rough to watch as a father. Like, I wasn't as emotional as I thought I would, but the big pivotal scene, which is supposedly, I was watching the interviews with the real family, is like the moment that happened where like the daughter is, you know, being told that there's really nothing to do. They just keep giving her this kind of experimental medicine to help her pain. At one point, you know, this like 7-year-old girl literally tells her mom, like, I want to die.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go to heaven. Supposedly that's what happened. In the interview, it's a little darker than they present in the movie, because then the girl says, Jennifer Garner's character does say, like, but we're going to miss you so much if you do that. And in the real story, her daughter said, like, but mommy, you can kill yourself and like come with me too.
Holy
Dad can take
shit.
Care of my daughter. So like, obviously, like, they're going through a lot, and this poor girl is, like, in misery, and she did fall down a tree, and not to get too science-y into it, but my understanding of it is more or less her disorder, the disease is that there's a malfunction between your brain and nervous system to essentially when you eat food, something happens in your stomach, and your brain knows you're digesting, and then it, like, tells your gut, like, all right, intestines, like, food's coming. But
yeah,
she doesn't have that connection. So her intestines never like turn on.
Most like motility disorders are like nerve things.
Yeah.
So, which is wild.
Which is wild.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It's like the computer is like a wire is just crossed. So your intestines never know food's in there. So she doesn't digest anything. So she's just literally filling up her intestines with semi-digested food. It's horrible. from most people's understanding, it appears that, you know, the head trauma, something happened where it like literally jump started her nerves again. Yeah. And she was fine. And like, it's wonderful that they got through it. It's on Instagram. It feels like the family's still happy and doing their thing. Always questionable when like a parent like writes a story about their kid to make money. But I also say like, she hasn't written any more books. It's not like she like took the success from this one and like spun it into like a writing career for Christian books. Like, seems like it's just a really miraculous thing that happened. And the movie takes a good final lesson when Jennifer Garner's character, the mom, when they go to the church, there's some faith aspects of it. The primary message is, as you're saying, the miracle from heaven. Yes, like her healing is a miracle, but the real miracle is they go through the rest of the movie and realize like, oh, this person at the airline that like let them go through the gate without their credit card working. And then Queen Latifah's character, who saw that they were miserable and gave them a tour for Boston.
Yeah. And she, like, you know, she says that she has the next day off, but then you see the flashback where she didn't have that day off. She had to ask for it. And stuff
and like the idea that like the real miracles in life are like kindness from strangers and helping each other out. It's like, that's a great lesson.
I love that. Yeah, that's great. I like believe that. So So I was very much on board. I was also, there's that scene where Anna is like sharing her cross necklace with Haley, her roommate, who has some sort of bone disease that, you know, eventually she dies from. But she essentially like self converts Haley to Christianity. And there's the scene where like Haley's father, Ben, confronts Christy, so Jennifer Garner, in the hallway, like, hey, I don't believe that. Yeah. I don't want you filling up my kid's head with nonsense or false hope and stuff like that. And, you know, to this movie's credit, like, it doesn't treat it like, oh, you're an atheist, bad things will come your way. Yeah. Like, it's just like, she totally accepts it. She's like, hey, I'm not going to overstep.
She does.
Of course,
does.
You know, the
but
movie.
But the movie does.
Yeah, the movie fucking gets its comeuppance by having Ben return at the end and be like, Haley found God and she was so at peace and stuff like that. It's a very different sort of message than the other movies we've been watching where it's like, oh, non-believer, you're going to get hit by a car.
Yeah. No, that scene was interesting because, yes, like Jennifer Garner, even he's not played as like cartoonishly as other ones. Like, you totally get from any faith, you would totally understand this dad's concern. It's like, he's obviously in a very trying time. His daughter is, you know, seriously ill, probably, you know, hospice situation.
Yeah.
And her roommate is this other girl he doesn't know anything about. You know, I'm sure he's trying his best to manage and understand and give her expectations of what's coming. And like, you know, somebody's talking to her about one thing and he's worried. And he, you know, he talks to a fellow parent outside who doesn't like make a big deal out of it. So they present him pretty realistically and sympathetically. And Jennifer Garner's response is also similarly like, you know, I didn't do anything with it. It's just my daughter. She obviously is friends with your daughter. You know, I'll do my best to tell her, you know, sorry, you know, but then she does die. And he, so actually this is perfect because this was, I looked through and saw what's different about the movie and the book. For the sake of it, we'll just treat the book as fact as much as it is. And we can get into how much we think it is fact, but I couldn't find anything proving anything wrong with her story.
Yeah.
So one of the main things they changed is that journalist character is not in the book. Like, that's not a person in real life.
Okay.
He is the closest we have to this added element that all these movies have.
Of dissent.
Yeah, the scene, a very powerful, like, situation where soon after she says she wants to die, there's another girl in her room, has cancer of some sort. They bond, and she gives this girl her necklace. And then, yes, the father's like, hey, you know, I don't want you filling my daughter's heads with those ideas. You know, I don't want her to have false hope, right?
Yeah.
Faith, false hope. And then at the end of the movie, when she does this big speech, you know, essentially saying, my daughter saw heaven. We can choose to believe her or not, but she saw it. The miracles along the way are all the people that have helped us through this time. And then the journalist comes up. By the way, during the scene, me and Beth kept looking at each other like, did Haley die? They just left this.
Yeah, they never.
They never.
There's a scene where the bed next to her is empty, but they don't like show her looking at the bed or do anything with the bed.
The kid doesn't have a response. Like, that was her friend. So the kid's never like, I lost Haley, or has any emotional reaction to it.
Kind of weird.
So we don't know about it until suddenly Ben stands up. This is a very movie moment, too, because, yes, you called them, what, the church bitches? They're in one other scene where earlier, out of nowhere, they're like these two old ladies, very stereotypical.
With shocking hair.
It was shocking,
ridiculous.
Like, if you were imagining, like, The Simpsons or Family Guy doing, like, a shrill church lady from the South, like, they look like cartoon characters.
Yeah.
They come up, and out of nowhere, they're just like, you know, God doesn't do things unless like people sin. Do you think like some of your family sin and yeah, that's why your daughter's sick?
They literally accuse Anna, this like 10-year-old, yeah. 9-year-old girl of sinning so that, yeah. you know, that she earned this disorder or something.
Yeah, like out of nowhere. That's another one of the things that's adding to Jennifer Garner's like journey of losing her faith. It's just like, I don't want to go back to church anymore because these fucking bitches are there. So then anyways, at the end when she's telling the story, one of them raises their hand. He's like, I don't believe it. There's no yeah. way she saw heaven. And everyone's like, what the fuck? Like, everyone's like, it's fine. And then Ben stands up, this journalist. He's like, hey, I'm an atheist. My daughter died.
Yeah.
And she had faith and hope in the end. So thank you so much for that.
And this dude, this actor gives kills like, it. Just absolutely nails
devastating.
It. Like, yeah.
I only got a little emotional when the girl was saying like she wanted to die. Cause like, you know, I have a 5-year-old daughter. So pretty much if I see somebody within that age range crying and a parent trying to take care of them, I'm going to get emotional. But I didn't even get hit that hard in that scene. But like he brought it so hard. Like yeah. him talking about his dead daughter, like hit me.
Yeah.
Like he's good. But it is this like double beat where the end of the movie has this lesson of like, hey, it's the miracles along the way. But then he needs to jump in and have this little coda being like,
yeah,
this girl died, but at least she was happy in the end because she believed in God. Also, like this guy's going to convert now. Like it's very important. Like this, not saying that if he was religious, his daughter would be alive, but one parent prayed, daughter alive, other parent didn't pray. Daughter dead. I don't know. You tell us.
That's a good point. I will say something that this movie has that, yeah, we haven't seen in movies like Facing the Giants or God's mm-hmm. Not Dead. The other movies make it seem like you have to earn anything good happening to you mm-hmm. by prayer.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of times in this movie where Jennifer Garner is not believing, is not yeah. praying. And she gets a stroke of good luck.
Yeah.
And, you know, we learn ultimately that's like the miracle sort of situation. I just find it interesting that compared to these other Christian films where morality is like something that you goodness is self-inflicted and yeah. like anything else is like sin or whatever. I just find that really interesting that it takes a gentler approach to yeah. its protagonist. And, you know, I think that's also reflected in we get like one like douchebag doctor at the beginning,
yeah.
but the rest of these doctors, these like reflections of modern medicine science yeah. are actually portrayed really well.
Yeah. yeah. No, it is a, again, I don't want to read too much into it, but it does feel like just as a movie, the problem with the movie is that like, it's an incredible newspaper story. It's an incredible
yeah.
six paragraphs. Like it's a crazy thing that happened. In order to make it a story, you really have to delve into something else beyond just the facts of the case, which are essentially this girl is really sick. They said nothing could cure her. She fell out of a tree and she got cured. So there's two things that are happening. There's like the story is pretty straightforward and bland. Chrissy Beam seems like a nice lady, but from the book itself, it's not like a really deep philosophical book that you're going to learn a lot from. I feel like there's two forces that are trying to get some energy into the movie. One's the Hollywood structure, which there's a few things that they change that makes sense. And the other is like the actual Christian agenda in the movie, which is where you get the journalists. And also the journey of faith is, you're right, it's a much gentler version. It's the same thing as God's Not Dead. It's just like the primary concern she has, which means that the movie doesn't have a lot of psychological depth or kind of anything to dig into. This like actual trauma that's going on with his family is the only problem she has. Is she's like, I don't get why God could let bad things happen to good people. Mm. She's sad about it. She doesn't want to go to church anymore because her bitch is there. She doesn't believe that God could be around anymore. She's losing her faith. The one big moment with her and her husband is like, I don't believe in anything anymore. And he's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
He kind of does this like look back like, oh no, does anybody hear that? And then when she falls down the tree, I don't really know what motivates her to suddenly, like obviously her daughter believing in the hospital helps her, but then she decides to pray again and she starts praying at the tree and then the husband comes and puts his hand on her back and prays too and then the other two girls pray and then
yeah,
the daughter.
Yeah, that beat is shockingly murky for like yeah. essentially the climax of the movie.
So one of the differences in it, and I don't know if that scene is how it is in the book, but in the real story, she falls down the tree and she's conscious. Like
oh.
she gets knocked out for a moment, but like, again, we talked about this, like, movies and action movies when somebody knocks somebody out and they're like down for minutes.
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
Dead.
That's not, you're dead.
Yeah.
Like the longest you get knocked out is like 30 seconds. Yeah. Other than that, it's a coma.
Yeah.
So like that doesn't happen. So she got knocked out and then she was there. She actually strapped herself in when they pulled her out.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, like she was stuck there for like hours or whatever. But yeah, I mean, she fell down. She got knocked out for a moment. They're all screaming, you know, then eventually she got up and, you know, they're obviously talking to her and whatnot. So I'm sure they're all worried for her, but I doubt they were like, you imagine if your daughter's talking back to you from inside the tree, you're not like, oh my god, she's dead.
Yeah.
Another big change, which the doctor scene is like, I feel like these movies definitely have, there's an ongoing thread about the kind of distrust in doctors and institutions, and in the actual story she just gets an appointment with Nurko.
Oh,
so in the movie they have this thing where it's like he's not responding, and then she decides just to go to Boston and use all this money just to go there and hope, and then she, you know, goes there and says, I don't have an appointment, but my daughter's dying, please, you have to see her, and this receptionist doesn't really want to help, and then you find out in the flashback that she did come and help and ask the doctor, and then Nurko sees them anyway. So I feel like they couldn't go too far in one direction, because obviously for the family, like, they love Dr. Nurko. Here's a cameo, actually, the scene where the journalist comes out into the hallway and she says, hey, don't fill my daughter's brain with those weird ideas. The real Dr. Nurko actually crosses by.
Oh, okay.
So they obviously love this doctor, and this doctor is obviously a hero to them. So I doubt the book has a lot of anti-medicine stuff, but they still slip in it a little bit. One for the Hollywood story of like, oh, it's got to be this big, exciting thing that she goes to Boston, but all the doctors beforehand don't listen to her and are like, there's nothing we can do.
There's that one pediatrician who's actually a pretty good guy.
I mean,
it's weird because like, if I were adapting this, I probably would have combined them into one person.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, yeah, he's a good dude. It seems like he just like doesn't know how to fix her.
Yeah. They also have this funny, I mean, this is so nitpicky, but they do the big confrontation in the ER room.
Yeah.
Which is like, why aren't you doing more? I'm like, well, the ER, like,
that's not the ER, the ER is just there to stabilize her
and get her out of there. But like, they make it in the ER room as opposed to like, I get like the fifth specialist you've been to and they're like, hey, it's like, I would be screaming as a parent to be like, yo, do an MRI, like do a CAT, like do something. But they do this kind of like big scene with the ER doctor, and then finally he just gives in. He's like, all right, we'll check for her, something else. And then they come back, be like, your daughter's got a lot of poop in her, essentially.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Damn.
What else to talk about with this movie?
I mean, that brings up a good point, is that this movie is like an hour and 50 minutes long. It's a boring movie.
Yeah.
There's not much going on.
And I just feel redundant to talk about this compared to, because it has, honestly, really is essentially the same movie as Facing the Giants, just structurally. And I think this is an ongoing problem whenever I see these movies, is that the fact that it could be about football or about your daughter having an incurable illness and then a miracle happening, the fact that like the themes and the psyche of the characters and all the discussion is essentially identical. There's no difference.
Yeah.
Like, it is literally, instead of a sick daughter, it's a team that's not working well. And the coach is like, I don't have faith anymore. And then the team's doing poorly. And then for some reason, it's never really explained, they just get their faith back. And in Facing the Giants, he just like walks outside. And he has that big scene where he just like walks outside in the woods. And he's like, I got to do it for God. I got to do it for God. It's God's back. Then a miracle happens. And everybody who is atheist, the miracle doesn't happen to them. And the person has their faith back. And then the end.
The good things happen.
Yeah. For this movie, since it's not even a sports movie, it really is like an hour and a half of just a young girl crying about how bad her stomach is.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Garner is a good actor and she's doing good work in it, but like,
everybody's pretty good. The acting in this movie is actually a huge step up from like God's Not Dead or Facing the Giants, where it's just like everybody's super competent at what they're doing and compelling, but it not quite compelling enough that I want to watch it for.
So that was an angle I wanted to ask about, which is because I remember when this came out, there's always like little waves in the zeitgeist, and that's true in you know, any sort of culture. So in Christianity, you know, it's like there was this era where there was a ton of these heaven are real stories.
Okay.
So right before this, like post 9/11, it was Da Vinci Code. So it was all the Christian books and all the church stuff was about kind of getting in on the conspiracy theory-esque, and also the world doesn't make sense anymore. There's a lot of, I'm sure people have written about why, like, Da Vinci Code and all these, like, you know, 2012 and End of the World and all these things started like popping off post 9/11 and like the world of Christianity. And then, you know, that eventually died out. And then it seems like sometime after 2008, because the other stories are like, there's Heaven is Real. There's also The Boy Who Went to Heaven. There's all these books that start coming out around like 2008 into like 2016. Miracles from Heaven is probably the last one. But they're all stories essentially where it's just like, and it's usually kids get hurt, injured, near-death experience, sick, and they go and they go to heaven and they come back and they tell their mom and dad, heaven's real. And then that mom and dad writes a book about it. And then it goes on the national bestsellers list. And they all get interviewed on morning shows.
Yeah, I have to admit, I had heard of Heaven is for Real, but I didn't know like what it was about. I'm just like Googling it now. And it's like the same thing.
It's the same thing. It's the same one. And there's also specifically one was called The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. And that one.
Oh, I've never even heard of this.
Well, that one we probably didn't hear about as much because that one eventually the kid 6 years later came back and was like, I lied. I lied. And you know, it was to literally for my parents to write a book. It was literally he lay in a coma in a car accident when he was 6 years old. The coma lasted 2 months. And then it's always interesting because, again, I was even reading some of these like Christian blogs talking about like how these stories are kind of problematic in a way for Christians because. One of the big stories in the Bible and the New Testament is like Doubting Thomas. It's the Jesus comes back from the dead. He comes to this pub or meeting room or wherever all the apostles are mourning him. And he's like, hey, I'm back. And all the apostles are like, whoa, dope, you're back. And then Thomas is like, I don't know. You can't be Jesus. Jesus is dead. And he's like, and Jesus is like, yo, I said I would be back. Like, why don't you believe me? And Thomas wants to like actually touch the holes in his hands to prove that it was Jesus. And then he does. And Jesus lets him touch them. And then Thomas is, you know, satiated with his like thirst for understanding that it actually happened, but
he looks like a fool.
He looks like a fool, but he's the weakest of the apostles. Which even as a kid, I always felt like that story is like, I don't know, Jesus, you could just let them touch you. Then it was like chill. But the idea of being as an important principle is like faith is inherently important. So it's odd that these stories seem like these like for adults to have this like Doubting Thomas sort of thing where it's like, hey, don't worry, your kid almost died and came back. And just so you know, like heaven is real.
Yeah.
Like it's real. It was funny because in some of the stuff when they talk about like, well, look, this is proof. Like they're always looking for proof. There's this proof because all the kids have the same vision of heaven. And it's like, yeah, no shit. Because all the kids have heard the same stories of heaven. So like almost all the kids have like, they sat on Jesus's lap. I don't know, like Santa Claus, like pretty Santa. Similar.
Yep.
And they have a little flashback, but they have like a little heaven sequence in this.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a good point that like with proof, there is inherently no faith. And yeah. So like, yeah, it's just kind of a weird little looky-loo into the psyche of maybe some.
Yeah. Like, like, wouldn't it be a miracle if the daughter came back and was just alive and like didn't say like she went to heaven?
I mean, like, there are certainly stories that frame that as a miracle.
Yeah, exactly.
Without the little what dreams may come, a dream sequence sort of situation.
So it's actually a subtle thing they change in the movie, which I think was to make it more digestible for an audience slash the controversy of casting a Jesus. But like in the story, like the daughter, they kind of play a coy when she's like, he said I would be okay and come back. And then, you know, Jennifer Garner's like, who said that? Like a horror movie, who said that? It's funny, it's the exact same scene as a horror movie. It's like, she said I could walk outside. It's like, who said that? The doll. In the actual, you know, story, like she says, like straight up, like Jesus was there and she describes him, you know, long hair, beard, essentially white cloak, like everything you would imagine.
The classic.
She doesn't really mention the race, you know, just saying maybe she did, but they didn't put it in the book. Can you imagine if the movie did actually have like Jesus pick her up and talk to her?
Yeah, Jesus is white.
Like, yeah, I kind of feel like the movie lost a little.
Heaven is for real and
guts.
Jesus is white.
Yeah, if you're going to do Heaven's for real, why not just have straight up Jesus in his chair, like picking her up and putting her on her knee like Santa Claus and say like, hey, you're not done yet. And when you come back, you're going to like be good.
I am fascinated to go back for a second to the kid that recanted. That takes fucking balls. Like I really admired that kid for saying
wasn't straight up not real. It was it's just like he fell back because like, you know, the book was selling and all this stuff, and it's just like, yeah, it's like that didn't happen. And I think the fact that sort of story, I can't think of the last time like a movie, and if it has, this hasn't hit the mainstream, which is like this idea of like proving that heaven is real. But yeah, I just kind of found it interesting that there was this like 8-year time period or so where it's just like that was like,
yeah, it seems like the Obama era.
The Obama era.
A lot of Christians on the right don't remember it fondly, but clearly There was some heavenly influence.
I was trying to do some fucking amateur cultural psychology. I was like, I don't know. It's like post 9/11 was all this. Like, this is essentially post recession. So, like, the world, like, you know, if the American dream feels like it's not real, like, you better double down on the fact that heaven's real.
Okay.
If I'm not going to get heaven here, might as well get it. And now we have a president that I don't like. Like, heaven definitely better be real. Yeah, there's that little line right at the beginning, which, to be fair, I think it cued us into thinking it was going to be a little more right leaning than we thought, because like one of the first lines of the movie is like the girls
hell
are making fun
California.
Of each other. Yeah, it's like, you're gonna go to hell, and the girl's like, hell's in California. Like, oh no, but that's fine, you know. Hey, us in California make fun of other states too, so totally yeah, totally down, totally
do.
Down for that slander. It's okay,
we all get together and we're like
yeah, we all share the tea on the other states that we don't like.
Yep.
But yeah, I guess it was in the end like a pretty, I get why it made its money, because I think like even a non-believer could just go see Jennifer Garner act her heart out crying about a daughter. And this is a story that
you watch Jennifer Garner in anything.
Yeah. And really outside of the flashback where they actually go into heaven. Not really that. I mean, it's Christian, but like in the same way that, like, you know, the Simpsons, it's weird because like the Simpsons are a Christian show. Like, they are Christians in it. Like, so it's kind of the same level. It's like, obviously her psychology and most of her character is defined by like her struggling with faith, but ultimately like, it makes sense, the Hollywood aspects of it. So, like, you know, I think they're doing everything they can to give her some agency. So, like, the veterinarian thing, like, her husband is a veterinarian, but in the movie, there's, like, a specific thing where, like, he just bought, like, a big veterinarian center or something.
Yeah. He took, like, every bit of equity out of the house.
Yeah.
Or something, you know, something.
To, like, buy some big vet center that he's got to deal with or something or another. And that's why they have, like, extra bills that they got to pay. And they're not going to be financially able to do this stuff, which all of it doesn't really seem to be true. And it doesn't seem like the actual lady, Kristen Beam, like, tried to, like, I don't think she wrote a book trying to be like, oh, we had it harder than other people, because it seemed like they're a relatively well-off family, and that's kind of how she's presented it. But in the movie, they kind of add a little bit of element of like
financial strain.
Yeah, a little bit of the classic also, like, you know, the wife is there to support her husband's like big dream. And when this changes, it puts stress on it.
It also allows for a scene where he can understand what the doctors are saying, but she can't. And for some reason, the doctors don't explain it to her, and her veterinary husband has to explain.
Oh, yeah, that was great. Actually, that's a funny moment, because there's a scene where the doctor's talking. She does kind of just look like she's just kind of like an idiot not understanding.
Yeah.
And the husband's like, oh, yes. Yes. And we're people like, uh-oh, where is this going? And it's like, oh, that's right, he's a vet.
Yeah.
So like, he's understanding, I guess, when he starts talking about motility or whatever in the intestines. He's like, oh, no, there's no cure.
Probably the most shocking part of the little like coda epilogue thing for this movie. All of these actors are incredibly hot.
Yeah,
everybody's very sexy in this movie. And then the family is good looking.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Yeah, they do a little like, here's the real family afterwards. And you can see the real tree.
The real tree, and
in the family. And they're like, yeah, the whole family is good looking folks. Like the Hollywood version is pretty much accurately representing the real version.
Yeah.
Except for Dr. Norco, who's just like a real doctor looking dude. I was like, oh, he's very different. Everybody else is kind of cast to look kind of similar to who they are, especially like the dad. But Norco is just like a big old bald doctor bro.
Nice.
The guy who plays Dr. Norco in this is very good in it as well.
Yeah, he's great. He just oozes charisma. And it struck me as particularly odd, given that it's a Christian movie and like the other types of Christian movies we've been watching. The movie is like kind of gross. Like you see like this like 8-year-old's like distended belly.
Yeah.
And so, like it kind of surprised me how like medically not accurate, but like how willing they were to depict this very ugly side of this illness.
Yeah, she vomits. And I remember there was a moment where like the girl runs in and vomits and then she starts vomiting in the toilet and like you see her vomiting. But there's this one little moment where like Jennifer Garner's like helping her daughter, like, you're okay, you're okay. Like, what's going on? You know, what feels bad? And the dad comes in and he kind of looks off frame down at where the vomit was. And he's like, ugh, and he's like kind of steps around it. I'm like, that makes sense. You want to show it. And then like as the scene ends and they walk off, the dad like bends down and starts cleaning up the vomit on the floor and you see all the vomit.
Yeah.
I was like, damn. I mean, it's not like crazy, but I'm like, okay.
It's a little gnarly. None of it's crazy, but it's like, it did surprise me at like what they were willing to show and what otherwise might be like a very sanitized, like kind of pared down version of this illness.
Yeah. It's definitely way too long, but I think there's a version of this movie that works much better. But like, I think part of the strength that it did have is like, I think it does a good job of showing the illness and like clearly how upsetting and uncomfortable and painful and horrible it is for her. Yeah. Like, it's even a nice little moment where it's like, it's not a big deal, but it's like, you know, especially at that age, like when the first like signs of it is just like she's putting on her pants and like you can tell that she's just like sad because her pants like don't fit. And she's got to wear kind of like these ugly like sweatpants or whatever. And it's just like, yeah, it's just like even like a better version of the movie would get into all that stuff, like how it actually affects like the individual and not. But again, you know, maybe for the people that it is, but even like thinking about it when I was younger and I was Christian and why I didn't like these movies and why these movies were always boring to me is because they ultimately were always just about just the question of faith and just like nonstop and didn't get into anything real. And I think this movie was almost frustrating in that like there's little moments of glimpses, one because the acting was good, and two, there are just like little details that like when she's putting her pants where you're like, ooh, like almost could have been like interesting and actually impactful. Like, because also there's a ton of these sort of movies like Lorenzo's Oils by George Miller. There's lots of these movies of parents dealing with sick kids, and like you got to find something to make it, you know, a story worth telling.
The reason it feels long to me is because the only thing I knew about it was that a girl falls out of a tree and like something good happens to her. So it's like I was expecting that to happen like 15 minutes in.
Yeah.
Like this is like the log line for me is like girl falls out of a tree and miracle happens. So to be waiting around for the tree, but I was just like champing at the bit, foaming at the mouth, waiting for this tree this whole movie.
Like, when is she gonna fall out of this tree?
It
almost becomes like a accidental like a horror movie when like, because it's supposed to be like a good moment, but there's this moment you see the tree in the beginning of the movie and we're both like, it's the tree, and then it's like 90 minutes. Also, it really ends up becoming like borderline like trauma porn where you're just like, especially since you know she's gonna get healed and there's not really any struggle happening. Like, there's nice little levity moments with like Queen Latifah's character coming in and they're having fun, but it's just a lot of this girl crying in pain.
Yeah,
a lot of Jennifer Garner crying about her daughter in pain. There's not a lot. And then it's like 90 minutes in, she decides to go home. They're a little vague because I think they're trying to play it as like if she goes home she might die. That's not really what's happening, but it's like she's no longer responding to the medication as much. She's gonna go home and she doesn't want to be in the hospital anymore. And then they cut to this shot, this kind of like steady cam like movement shot of the tree.
Yeah,
and Beth's like, like, it's the day, like it's time.
And this tree, to be clear, it's like the production designer or whoever went all out on this tree.
Yeah.
It looks like kind of like the tree from the 1999 Tim Burton Sleepy Hollow, if you've seen that.
Yeah, it's definitely gotta be a fabricated tree because it's kind of like the girls go on it and play on it, and the firefighters put ladders on it. So obviously there can't be a real broken dead tree because those trees are unstable. So it is like a very stylized sort of tree.
Yeah.
And then when she's climbing, you're just like, I can't wait for this little girl to fall. Like, it's about to happen. And then you're like, you're not even gonna be worried because you already know that when she falls, like, that's how it's healed.
The other thing that like makes that scene kind of funny to me is that when she goes out to play, her mom is on the phone trying to find her a child psychologist because she has just been like, oh, I don't want to live, you know, like really dark stuff. The idea that you could be on the phone to a child psychiatrist, you could fall, wake up, say heaven is real and God speaks to me, is just kind of funny to me. It's just a little
bit. They're like, we don't know, we don't need to go to psychologist anymore. It reminds me of kind of Journey to Bethlehem in terms of, I guess we've now kind of done two of these two types of movies where it's like, because it's so innocuous and kind of just gentle and overall like not like weird or toxic most of the time, it's just then this biggest sin, I guess, is kind of that it's boring. That's ultimately kind of the thing. I think if you're a believer and you're looking for something that kind of made you cheer about, you know, heaven being real and seeing somebody of faith like kind of get through some struggle, like, is a pleasant enough movie if you don't mind watching a girl cry a lot and like Jennifer Garner cry a lot.
Mm.
If you're not, you're not going to be like, wow, this is a dumbass movie. You'll probably be like, that was boring. That was a boring movie.
Yeah. I don't think it brings up strong emotions for all of its strengths and weaknesses. No strong feelings in me.
Should we decide the fate of Miracles from Heaven?
Before that, I would challenge us to try to find the next thing that we watch to try and branch out of this believer loses faith, tries to find it and see like what other kind of Christian movies
what other
are
kind
out
there. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we gotta see. We gotta find something.
I guess I didn't realize that we were falling into this.
It is. It's a very. I mean, like, I guess Journey to Bethlehem was, but no, that's because Journey to Bethlehem essentially is that too.
Yeah, because Joseph doesn't believe. Joseph. Yeah,
that movie's weird because Joseph's clearly the main character in every other Christian movie. The movie has to be about Mary, so there's a lot of just like Mary being chill. And then every once in a while, you cut to Joseph. He's like, I don't know. This is real. And then a miracle happens. Just at this point, it's the birth of Christ. It really is. You know what? I will say this: like, God's not real. Or wait, God's not dead. God's not dead. Probably is the most interesting of them all structurally as like a movie.
I agree with that.
If I was challenged to be like, you got to take one of these movies and rewrite them. Paramount's ordering a sequel and they're giving you creative freedom. You just got to more or less follow the original story. I would jump at the bit to do God's Not Dead over all the other ones. Bethlehem would probably be second because it's like a crazy story and there's a lot of cool stuff in it. But like, God's Not Dead is like set up like a boxing match. It's kind of there. All these other movies are very much just something bad happens. A person struggles for a long time. God intervenes.
I don't know. I would do a sequel to Facing the Giants because I like sports movies. So I would do. I would have fun with that. All right. Verdict. Okay.
You want to go first? Are we putting this on the shelf? So far, we have no movie that we've both said yes to.
Yeah. I am going to say yes to this movie. I feel that it is this main kind of takeaway that miracles are other people. I like that. I think that's very fine. So there. this is going to get my vote for yes.
Beth, I think we have it. I think we have our first true Christian movie.
Holy shit.
I will also put this on the shelf for very much the same reasons. I think as a movie, it's not for me. I find it very boring.
But it's good, clean Christian fun.
Yeah, I think if I had to, right now the four movies, if I had to be like, hey, if you're interested in like what a, you know, Christian movie can be that's not gonna like, you know, make you fucking put your dukes up and like want to fight it and like get offended or it's a generic sort of Lifetime original story that you've seen before with a Christian point of view and the characters are all relatively pleasant and I think the heart's in the right place and the fact that the main message at the end is a really, I think, universally good moral, which is like the real like kindness and love
almost
is
a secular moral.
Yeah, it's just like, it's ultimately like, it's nice that in the end it's about the people. The lesson is like the real miracle is everybody being kind to each other. Like, that's great. That's what Jesus Christ was trying to say anyways, all day. Yeah. Give me those lessons. So yeah, I think so. I think, and it's got Jennifer Gardner.
Yeah.
It's got a good performance. It's got Queen Latifah just like showing them around. We didn't even get into that. It's a weird,
Queen Latifah is like just there. The token black person in this all white movie.
Yeah. Not to bring up, but unsurprisingly, the real lady was white. But it is a true story, I guess. A waitress saw them looking sad and decided to show them around Boston. But there's just a montage of just them and Queen Latifah going around an aquarium a lot.
Yeah.
And having a good time.
The aquarium.
But still, you know, even those little scenes, Queen Latifah's bringing it.
She really is.
Everybody's bringing it. So yeah, I think it's all right. I think you'd do worse.
It's all right.
Look, if you got a Christian relative that sometimes you're uncomfortable with on Thanksgiving and they were like, let's watch a movie and they had a list and they had a bunch of them, I think Miracles from Heaven would make a nice dessert after maybe a tense Thanksgiving that you could all get along with afterwards.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Cool.
It's been so long. I think we just ended with like, Beth, peace be with you.
And also with you.
Also with you.
Yep.